from the book The Open Door of Emptiness by James Lowe. Chapter 3, Part 5. Connected to Openness, Working with Circumstances. Each of us can tell the story of our lives. Our family was like this. We went to our particular school. We did this, and we did that. In these stories, 90% is the same for everyone. We have to go to school. We like some teachers. We don't like other teachers. We have a favorite food. We have a best friend. This is normal. In fact, we make our individuality out of what we actually share. Why is it that we share so much? It's because we inhabit the shared field of experience. We walk, we talk, and this requires an environment and language that we share with others. The uniqueness of our individual experience is something we have in common with all other beings. Our existence is pulsatory. It's part of a movement, a dialogue of communication. We are not things, not entities, not a self sealed in a bubble. We are participants in the unfolding movement, which is the world. Our own mode of participation is unique and specific for each of us, but our individuality manifests in relation to other people. Our individuality is not the sign or product of an unchanging inner essence. Rather, it is the manifestation of the interplay of our potential with the potential of the situation. It is a field phenomenon rather than a personal quality. This is obvious once we start to look rather than to assume. In the course of a day, we have many different kinds of conversation as we talk with different people. What we can say to one person is not the same as what we can say to another person. And of course, the manner of speaking also varies greatly. We tell of an event in different ways. So, what is the truth of the event? Memories and their recounting are situationally evoked rather than objectively true. Someone asks how we are, and we say, "Oh, I'm fine." Yet, with another person, we say, "Oh, it's a bit like this and that." Why do we say more or less? It's because the person we address will seem to us to be a big door or a little door. If they look like a little door to us, we will not want to reveal much of ourselves, for it seems there is not enough room to let more of us pass through. Yet, maybe, to someone else, they look like a big door. This is the dynamic nature of the unfolding of our becoming. We are becoming ourselves in relation with others. Yet, our being itself is unchanging. For being is not the personality. Rather, being is the quality of mirror-like emptiness. The openness and clarity which reveals the ceaseless movement of becoming. This view indicates that it is both fine and inevitable that we are unreliable. It is gorgeous to be unpredictable, for we are not machines. However, being unreliable and unpredictable is not the same as being self-indulgent, because then you'd be reliably self-indulgent. You'd just be doing your own stuff. Rather, It's to see that we are co-emerging with the environment. The environment changes and we change. And this co-emergence is mutual interaction. Unpredictability is not created by whimsy. It is the actuality of the interactive field. The infinity of our being opens us to see that what we call other people is inseparable from ourselves. Self and other are movements in the field of experience. The movement of our body and the shape of the stairs as you walk down them are not two different things. I am not the master, as in I am walking down the stairs. Rather, the stairs and our body are in a conversation, as I was suggesting earlier. I think you will find that this is true with everything you encounter. If we go to a cafe to get a cup of tea, our body, voice and mind are all manifesting patterns that fit with what we encounter. If we are not able to do that, it is a sign that we are lost in a limitation. From the Buddhist point of view, this mutual influencing is compassion itself. The more you see that how you are is part of the world and let go of holding yourself apart in some separate domain of your own thought, there is less and less barrier to being open to other people. With this empathic attunement, you are able to tune into and be as close to their profile as possible. And this reception of their actual presentation in the moment allows your response to express both the immediacy of the other and your own actual situational capacity. There is no map or template that can show us the right way to be, for right is not a moral judgment, but the quality of fit. Every situation we are part of invites us to taste the plasticity of our identity, our capacity to be moulded and shaped by events, since we too are but a series of events. Conversation evokes our body, our voice, and our mind to move. Flexibility is part of communication, for you cannot be fully connected with other people and be rigid. It's impossible. We know that when we get a bit scared, frightened, or worried, we become more fixed and rigid. We might want to avoid others, for our preoccupation has rendered us unavailable. Availability is flexibility, because it calls forth a fresh response. In this state, you have the freedom to access and reveal the whole range of your potential. Thus, in Dzogchen, we offer ourselves into the flow of becoming, rather than holding ourselves apart. Being alive can be quite a complicated business, for there are many, many different demands that we have to face, many uncertainties, many unpredictabilities. This uncertainty easily produces anxiety, and anxiety easily turns us in the direction of wanting to impose control. Control can be very useful for a while in some areas of life, but a lot of the time, and in many situations, it is not, for it evokes the sense of personal agency that blocks our easy participation. Meditation practice is the presence which offers responsivity to and within the situation. It is not something that we prepared earlier. This requires relaxing our reliance on knowledge, patterns, and habits. We discard our recipe books and pay more attention to the rich potential of the ingredients of which we and the situation are composed. We can do many things on automatic pilot, and often do them simply because we know how to do them. Habits are quick, and in some ways efficient. They can make us feel competent. The problem is that often they don't fit the actual situation. So in order to comfort myself by doing more of what I know how to do, I end up enacting a subtle or gross violence on the other. And this increases my sense of duality. This tendency to overactivity is increasing in all public walks of life in Britain, whether it's medicine, teaching, or anything that is connected with the state. There is more and more regulation coming in. This is driven by a fantasy that bad things just shouldn't happen. A risk assessment is made, structures are set in place, and then, if something bad has happened, it's obviously because people have not followed the rules. Social work departments can be paralysed by this kind of thinking. School teachers are imprisoned inside narrow notions of the syllabus, and so on. Fear is probably not an ally of competence, and if staff are not supported and trusted to be themselves while staying in role, they are likely to lose their motivation. Of course, the anxiety arising from a mistake can easily lead to the imposition of anxious controlling as the best way to keep people efficient and non-harmful. However, mistakes are part of life and are probably best dealt with calm clarity and a sense of proportion. Nurturing in times of difficulty is vital, because when we nurture people, we give them resources. The more resources we have, the broader the repertoire of possible responses we have. And with the confidence this generates, we can allow ourselves to be present in the actual situation and respond into it. This has two main advantages. Firstly, we fit ourselves into the situation and actually meet people where they are. And this is compassion. Secondly, we experience the freshness of our being. This is wisdom. If you merely have to obey orders and implement something which has been decided by some people somewhere else, you are being denied your creative responsivity, the flowering of your singularity within the web of interconnectivity. Central planning may be useful with commodities, but not with people. Human beings are particular. They are unique. Each one needs to be responded to in their unique individuality. If you don't offer that, how can you help people? The standardization of people is the attempt to make them machines. Human beings have been doing this to other human beings for a very long time. It used to be in the form of slavery, but nowadays it manifests as the need for efficiency and its consequent demand for conformity to a program. Dzogchen proposes that the best way to bring about richness and fulfillment in life is to work with the unique specificity of your own and others' situation. This brings genuine contact between people and also highlights the many ways in which this can be sabotaged. The deepest sabotage is not to be our own openness. The next level is the avoidance of the richness of our potential. The surface level is our tendency to hide ourselves in identification with pre-existing structures, generating a sense of belonging, which is actually a forgetfulness of being. We can find belonging in a sport, a family, a religion, but the relief these offer is often short-lived. We have to find our way from loneliness, which seeks the rescuing other, to relaxed aloneness, which is open to all. Nothing you can say about yourself can sum you up. If you tell a friend about how you've been in the summer, or what you might do at Christmas, you create a little structure, a little shape. It's a gesture of friendliness. But is it the truth about your life? Does it really show who you are? I would suggest not. When we communicate in that way, there is linking, connecting, co-emerging, joint production of value, but not the establishing of an enduring truth. This offers us the freedom not to take ourselves too seriously. We cannot establish what we are, only describe how we are, the current patterning of our manifesting. Moreover, how we are is contingent. We arise in communication with the circumstances of the wider field. So in Dzogchen, we are not trying to align ourselves with some perfect form. We are not attempting to manifest in a particular predetermined pattern. Rather, we work with circumstances, experiencing what it is to be alive at this precise moment. If you are in touch with your life, with all the turbulences, the expansions and contractions of your own existence, you realize that you are a dynamic potential of patterning. As part of the non-dual field of experience, our patterns arise in relation to those of the field. Hence, we collaborate with the world, rather than attempting to dominate it. Flexibility, changeability, is inevitable. Therefore, why would we get very upset when other people are unreliable? This view tends to make us a little softer, more tolerant, and less judgmental as we relax our assumptions and expectations of ourselves and others. We often get disappointed and let down by other people because they don't do what they said they would do. But when we look at ourselves, we also find that we're not very reliable. So maybe prediction is simply a reassuring fantasy, a way of keeping our head above the water. My life's fine, and 5 years from now I'm going to do this. I'll be okay. However, if I think I don't know what's going to happen, then it's upsetting. It's alarming. We can't tolerate the uncertainty, and so we reassure ourselves with fantasies. Fantasies which help us to avoid the actual nature of our situation. Dzogchen points in the opposite direction. Relax. Open and integrate with all circumstances without relying on conceptual elaboration. Anxiety, fear, and not knowing are all part of life rather than limits to it. This is a much more reliable refuge than trying to achieve total control. Teachings given at Bright Elm Centre, Brighton, UK, on the 2nd of December, 2012. Revised by James Lowe. From the book The Open Door of Emptiness, a collection of public talks and teachings by James Lowe. Read by Wendy, October 2012. 2025.